And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. I understand I may have missed someone coming up for birthday blessing, but I promise you, tell me in the line, I'll give you a birthday blessing as you come through. I apologize. But we're truly blessed that the prayer book and the Anglican Church carry on the tradition of celebrating a feast devoted to the angels of God. The feast of St. Michael extends as far back in history as the 5th century, so there is great warrant for appointing a special day to think about God's ministering spirits. In fact, even though there was a period in the late 20th century when angels were all the rage, a lot of things going on in our culture, a lot of interest in angels, I'm afraid that they are largely forgotten in our contemporary setting. This is a shame, since angels are so prominent in Holy Scripture. Angels are mentioned more than 300 times between Genesis and Revelation. The Lord told Job that the sons of God, meaning the angels, sang at the creation of the world. After that, we frequently hear about the angels serving as ministers to God's people, some of the more famous scenes where the angels come to Abraham, to Moses, and to the Blessed Virgin Mary. We hear of angels delivering God's people from danger and fighting against their enemies. And we hear of the angels announcing the Savior's birth to a group of shepherds, singing, "Glory to God in the highest." Many other instances could be rehearsed, but this morning I want us to focus on the last statement of our Lord in our gospel lesson, where he says, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." What a happy coincidence that we should read this lesson on the same day that we baptize one of our little ones. This passage is probably the primary text in all of Holy Scripture for teaching on the concept of guardian angels. However, it's not the only one. In fact, the concept of guardian angels began in Judaism and was inherited by Christians. Listen to what the psalmist says. "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them." In another place, we're told that God shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, we're told that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation. Texts like these led the church fathers to the doctrine of guardian angels. One early church writer, quoting our text, said, "All of the faithful in Christ, no matter how small, are helped by an angel. And Christ says that the angels always see the face of the Father who is in heaven." Likewise, St. Jerome said, "How great is the dignity of the soul, since each one has from his birth an angel commissioned to guard it." So the fathers concluded from these biblical texts, especially Jesus' statement that the little ones, angels, always behold the face of his Father in heaven, that each of God's people, even the smallest ones, have guardian angels. So this leads us to think briefly about what exactly these guardian angels might do for us. I would note at least three ways in which our guardian angels help us. First of all, they protect us. This is what God promised in Psalm 91. "He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." This activity may be going on around us without our knowledge. After all, we should remember that angels are ministering spirits. They're typically unseen, although they may appear sometimes in human form. There's an interesting story in this regard in a passage from 2 Kings, which is appointed for the evening prayer lesson tonight at this feast. At one point, the king of Syria was trying to find the prophet Elisha so that he could kill him, because he knew that he was supplying the king of Israel with knowledge about his actions by divine inspiration. So he sent a vast army of horses and chariots, and they surrounded the house of Elisha. When Elisha's servant looked out of the window and saw that vast army, he became fearful and despaired, saying to his master, "What shall we do?" And Elisha calmly responded, saying, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And then he prayed that the Lord would open his servant's eyes. And the Lord did open his eyes, and he looked out again, and he saw the mountain was full of horses and chariots, an angelic host all around Elisha's house. We learn from this that the Lord's angels surround his people, though they are most often invisible to us. They protect us in ways that we probably have not even imagined. Secondly, our guardian angels serve as messengers. This is what we're most familiar with in the scriptures. There are many occasions where angels appear to God's people, bringing them a message from God. Even though we may not experience this in quite as dramatic a fashion, it is possible that angels have brought us messages when we were unaware that they were angels. In this regard, the Epistle to the Hebrews admonishes us when it says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels." Finally, the Lord sends his angels to deliver us. When the children of Israel were at the Red Sea and the Egyptian army was in hot pursuit, the Lord sent his angel to their rear to confuse and hold back their enemies. Meanwhile, the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea unscathed. Likewise, our Lord has promised to send his angels on the last day to gather us from the four corners of the earth and to save us from the wrath that is to come and to usher us into his kingdom. And even prior to that time, he does the same when it comes time for us to depart this life. For Jesus says in the story of the rich man and Lazarus that when Lazarus died, the angels came and carried him to Abraham's bosom. We trust that the Lord does the same for all of his people. So on this great feast, let us offer our thanks to Almighty God for creating these ministering spirits who serve as our guardians. They are sent among us to protect us, to bring us messages, and ultimately to deliver us to our final place of rest. May his holy angels, who behold his face in heaven, continue to watch over and care for us all the days of our life, and ultimately to take us to our heavenly home at the hour of our death.